The song, we are marching to the dwelling place of God. Now, going to Zion. Praise the Lord. We welcome you all to our live broadcast today, Sunday, August 14, 2022. Shall we pray? In Jesus' name we pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here, to speak and to listen and to watch. We welcome you, dear Holy Spirit. Help us to understand. Help us to walk the walk according to the commands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bless all, Father, who have not known your name, but who will tune in, Lord, and open their eyes and their hearts so that they can embrace your Son Jesus, that they may be saved from their sins and become candidates for to inherit eternal life. We give you all the praise and honor, dear God. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Praise the Lord. Please, we encourage you to share our broadcast. Don't just watch them alone. Invite others, because there are so many things there, so many teachings that will enable you to grow in faith. No matter what you are passing through, please know that you are not alone. In fact, the Lord and Savior is with you. Because say, when you pass through the valley of shadow of death, He's there with you. When you pass through dry lands, He's there with you. When you pass through rivers of abundance, He's there with you. Whether you lack or you have, He's there with you. Provided you are cleaved to the vine, that's Him, and draw your nourishment to live from Him, you can never be cast out. So we continue today with the conclusion of our Actions Have Consequences series. You can see the series outline displayed up to the fifth week. Then we continue to the next slide. Last Sunday we spoke about the sense of God in the millennial reign of Christ, that is in the 1,000 year reign of Christ. But after that, there will be that great judgment. But today we're going to speak about who are the ones who will finally inherit the new heaven and the new earth. Because after the 1,000 year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, this present world and heavens will be cast off, and a new heaven and a new earth will come, with a new Jerusalem, the Zion, the Mount of God. So, today we're going to speak on those who will inherit this new heaven and new earth, meaning who inherit eternal life. Remember, the saints of God in the millennial reign have already inherited. Others are going to join them. Praise the Lord. Today's topic, as we said, is inhabitants of the new heaven and the new earth. The outline. Number one, as we conclude the Actions Have Consequences series, we're going to make a little commentary on that. Then we're going to speak on the new heaven and the new earth. Remember, no longer the millennial reign of Christ, which is the present world, or the present earth, where He will reign for 1,000 years. We're talking about who will be in this new heaven and new earth. Then who will be these inhabitants? That's number three. And number four, those who will be characteristics of those who will not inherit eternal life. Those who will not inherit eternal life are already demonstrating that here right now on earth. And of course, there are some, we're marching to Zion, the dwelling place, the city of God. Praise the Lord. Number one, as we conclude the Actions Have Consequences series, we learned that God at some point, when we started, in timelessness, an undated period, when there was no time, He created a spiritual world and angels. Thereafter, as we continued in the series, He created a material world, time, and human beings. Let us note here one thing, that God is complete with or without His creation. Because if you say that God is not complete, that means God is not God. By the very definition or knowledge of God, God is complete. He did not create the heavens and the earth and human beings and angels because he needed them, but he created them out of his love because God is love. Praise the Lord. As we continued in the series, we learned how one third of God's angels rebelled against him. And after that, how the first humans on earth rebelled against God. And after the great flood, the second humans continued to do evil. Until one man God raised who was very faithful, who obeyed God implicitly, called Abraham. As a result, God blessed his descendants, Israel. But they too, along the way, sinned so many times. One thing underpins the different worlds, from the world of the angels to those of humans, something you need to know. Those who loved God were obedient to his commands, while those who were disobedient were those who loved themselves. So if in the present world you love yourself more than God, you are not a candidate, unless you repent. They, through their actions, did not want to be subject to God's authority. That's the bottom line. And if you are not going to be subject to God's authority here on earth, why would you want to be in that new heaven and new earth? Then came Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He came into the world of the humans, walked on the earth for more than 30 years, showed the way to please God, and was crucified by the Romans under the insistence of his own countrymen and women. After his resurrection from death, he ascended into the heavens, and 40 days later, God sent the Holy Spirit to empower those who believe in his Son so they can walk the walk of faith. The Church of Christ, which started in Jerusalem after the Lord's ascension and empowering of the disciples by the Holy Spirit, turned the first century world upside down. Wherever they went, things happened, things changed. Because they called that world, they showed that world that they were not righteous before God. Do you know why that church succeeded in touching many lives and bringing many to the kingdom? Because the believers lived what they preached. They lived a sanctified life. What is a sanctified life? One that turns his back to the world and the things in the world. One that does not get drawn by the loss of the world, but one that separates himself or herself to the Lord. That's the sanctified life. So when the world saw them different, living differently, they wanted to know which God. And then they were told is the Lord, who is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, by the 4th century, after the Lord's death and resurrection, a major rump of that church went apostate. This major rump claimed to be Christ through church. His claim to be Christian was just in name. It will become the most powerful empire for more than 1,000 years. Kings and queens get crowned by it. For this apostate church dominated the world for so many years that it even imprisoned and sometimes killed faithful followers of Christ. What an irony. Furthermore, it introduced doctrines that opposed many of Christ's commands. As powerful nations and empires invaded other continents to steal their lands and precious goods, this apostate church empire supported the endeavors. Its influence is still being felt in death, the influence of this apostate Christian church. Because even when splits occurred in the 15th century, leaders of emerging church denominations followed the template of the apostate church empire. So they too became apostate along the way. Because they sought and maintained a symbiotic relationship with powerful empires and kingdoms. You know, the Lord said, my kingdom is not of this world. No. Apostate Church says, no. The kingdom of God is here on earth. And we are going to inherit everything now, and then we'll invite him to come. From the 15th century to a period of more than 300 years, armies of powerful kingdoms and empires invaded the rest of the world, especially in Africa and the Americas. They did havoc. They killed and stole the lands of the natives in the Americas, but they committed genocide in the Americas. In Africa, they stole treasures and human beings. Transported millions of African youths, the young of Africa, to the Americas in inhuman conditions. To work in the fields in the Americas as beasts of burden. Merchants of the transatlantic slave trade were celebrated. In fact, there are still many of their monuments in many parts of the Western world. Kings, queens, and emperors even knighted some of them. The wealth of some of the 21st century's world's most powerful countries came on the back of stolen labor and stolen lands. The ancestors of the 21st century powerful nations wrote the history of the period between the 15th and 20th century. So when you hear people opposing, they don't want history. They don't want the truth to come out now. They know what they're doing. I said, those who have inherited from the spoils of the ancestors. Those people maximize their ingenuity, minimize the contributions of the other, that's other people from other lands, and erase the atrocities they committed on their way to their greatness. Scripture, please.
I read from Romans chapter 2, verse 24. As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you.
Praise the Lord. Apostate Christian churches, led by this apostate Christian church empire, and all those who live, who claim they're Christians, but are not living right according to the precepts of the Lord, are responsible why many have not believed. They blaspheme the name of the Lord when they say we are Christians, we are followers of Christ, but they live a life that are contrary. Apostate Christianity has supported and continues to support evils committed by empires, kings, kingdoms, countries, even till now. That's why in some parts of the world, Christianity is seen in a bad light. Because they are absorbed and claim that they were Christian nations. By the way, there's no such thing as a Christian nation in the world. Because to be a Christian nation, God will be your God, and there to be a theocratic state. There's no such thing right now. God's name is still being blasphemed in the world today. And people will say, God is not watching. He's watching. What do you think happened to those people in those continents between the 15th century to even now, where racism is rife in many parts? How do you think they see the church, the so-called church that usurped the Church of Christ in name, remember only, because the Church of Christ exists. It is always there. What do you think they did? It made them to say, no, there's no such, how can this type of God be wicked? That's what they have done. God is not mocked. Because one day, and that day is soon, because those who have done these things, unless they repented, cannot become an inhabitant of the new earth and the new heaven. Can we go to the new heaven and the new earth? Scripture, please.
I read from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.
Praise the Lord for his word. A new heaven and a new earth. There be no sick, which means there be no more chance in the new heaven and the new earth. But there be a holy city, Zion, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And the tabernacle of God will now be here in this new heaven and new earth. And everyone will see the Lord God and worship from wherever they are. Because God will be dwelling and living with his people. What a glorious time it will be. And there will be no tears, no mourning, no death. Because it's now those who are there will live have eternal life. Who will be these inhabitants of the new heaven and new earth? Next slide, please. Let's look at who will be the inhabitants. Scripture, please.
I read from Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 17. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still.
Hold it there, please. Good. So, verse 11. He who is unjust will not be an inhabitant of the kingdom of God. Many times people look at you are told, look at this point, see this. And rather than speaking the truth, you dissimulate. No, you are not a candidate. You are not going to be there. Because you are being unjust. Those who are just are faithful. They look at issues and they speak truth to power. They are not afraid. They are not cowards. Those who are filthy will not be part of this group we are talking. Because if you are filthy, how can you be in the new heaven and new earth where there is no filthiness? Who will be there? Those who are righteous. How are you righteous? Only Christ confers righteousness. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you continue to do his commands, not commands of human beings and apostate Christianity, but the commands of God as the Holy Spirit ministers to you through the word of God he has given us, which is all written in the Bible, then you are righteous. Because the righteousness that is written on you is the righteousness of Christ, not your own works, but the works that Christ is doing through you that is reaching the world. So those who will be there with those who were righteous on earth, because Christ conferred righteousness on them, and they emulated Christ and lived a life that, like the first century believers who turned their world upside down, they separated themselves from the world. Say, he who is holy, let him be holy still. Many of you dance with the world, you know, you love the things in the world, and you say, no, we are not going to heaven. You are not part of the new heaven. And I'm being blunt, I don't care care who you think you are. If I love the world, I can't be a candidate of heaven. Because when Christ comes in you, you can't love the world. You may be rich, but you will not love even the things you have. You may be poor, you will not hate the things that you are not rich like others. You will love Christ, Him crucified and resurrected. And you only want to obey Him and Him alone. And as He leads you, because the steps of a righteous one are ordered by the Lord. You will, how can you fail? Because you have separated yourself. Holiness is separate from the world and cleaving to the Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ is you, He's doing the work. You are holy. Only those will be the inhabitants of the kingdom of God. Those who have separated themselves from the world. Who do not love the things in the world. Who do not love the world. They use those things just as, you know, when you eat food, it's just food for the body. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. Those are the ones who will be in heaven. If you love the world, you remain here on earth. And when that is consumed, you'll be consumed and cast into the lake of fire. I speak out of love. Continue, please.
And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral, and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie.
Hold it there, please. Blessed are those who do his commandments. See the point? Who do his commandments? The commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a commandment of love. Only those ones will be in the new heaven and the new earth. You cannot do the commandments of Christ except Christ is in you. Because only through the indwelling Holy Spirit will you be guided to do the things that are right, and you'll be able to separate right from wrong. You don't have indwelling Christ and indwelling Holy Spirit. It is not possible to run the race. So only those who do the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ will inherit eternal life. Only they can enter the gates of the city, enter Zion. Praise the Lord. But outside, watch, are dogs. Dogs. The evil men and women on earth. And you can be in church, you might be a general overseer, pastor. That's not the point. The point is, if you are not doing the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a dog. Number one, sorcerers. Those who have been invoking things and using the name of the Lord in vain, claiming one thing or the other. They're sorcerers. Sexually immoral, you know what that means. In thought and word and deed, you are not being sanctified daily through by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And murderers, not only those who kill, but those who speak with their mouth. Who tell lies intentionally to blaspheme, to destroy other people. Idolaters, those who love money. You know, in church, they lift the money and say, I'm going to become very rich. Prosperity. Those who love only prosperity are idolaters. Did you hear what I said? They are idolaters. I know one nation that has on their currency in God we trust. And yet they have committed so much atrocities and going to commit atrocities. And many of them use the name of the Lord to kill, to hang people on the cross, using a cross to kill them. I don't want to repeat the words at first because it's not important anymore. Just note that idolaters will not inherit the kingdom. And whoever loves and practices a lie, you know, some people, because, especially when they do their politics, you're like a candidate, therefore, he's God sent. Then you cast your vote, or you go and become a canvasser, and you begin to spill your lies. You can't be in heaven and earth because you cause trouble there. In fact, you will not even want to be there. You want to run away because you want a place where you can start continuing your lives. That's why you can't be a candidate of heaven. Continue, please.
Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely.
Praise the Lord. Freely you have received God's grace, why do you charge men and women for the grace of Christ? The word is free to you. Share freely with others the words of eternal life. And you'll be blessed. We plead with you. Share our messages. We have asked nothing from yourself. Share the messages. Pray for us and we pray for you. That's all we have said. In how many years of ministry? Here, at least those who are watching our broadcast for the nearly 3 years now. Share freely. Enjoy the presence of the Lord. Because the Lord is saying, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify these things to you to the churches. He's telling you today again, come my son, come my daughter. Don't believe anyone who speaks anything to the contrary. Scripture, please.
I read from Romans chapter 2, verses 4 to 11. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? But because you are stubborn and refuse to turn from your sin, you are storing up terrible punishment for yourself. For a day of anger is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will judge everyone according to what they have done. Verse 7. He will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers.
Please, stop there, sir. Thanks. A day is coming when God will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good. Not good of their own, but good that Christ in them enabled them to do. They were seeking not their glory or their wealth. They were seeking the glory and honor of God. Those are the ones who will be the citizens, inhabitants of the new earth and the new heaven. Not self-seeking people. Not those who continue to fleece their congregation, telling them lies. Continue, please, from verse 8.
But he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness. There will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on doing what is evil, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. But there will be glory and honor and peace from God for all who do good, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism.
Praise the Lord. Note that last verse. God does not show favoritism. Unlike human beings, God does not have favorites. He wants every man to woman to repent and come into the saving knowledge of Christ. He has more than enough for everybody. If the whole world repents, he has more than enough room for everybody. So the choice is yours and the choice is mine. And he's saying in verse 9, there will be trouble and calamity. For everyone who keeps on doing evil, who continue to hear the gospel of Christ, the true gospel, and continue and refuse to repent. Who prefer the gospel of human beings. The gospel of naming and claiming. The gospel of those who are merchandise God's grace. The gospel of sowing and reaping. That is, you sow and God will reward you. Who have blasphemed the name of the Lord by the way they live. And do not live righteous to show the world, the others, that indeed we are children of God. That day is coming. Because God has no favorites. God wants every man and woman to repent. We shall go to the next slide. Characteristics of those who didn't inherit eternal life. We have already said them as we were talking on this, so we'll not dwell too much time on this. Scripture, please.
I read from Revelation chapter 22, verses 10 to 17. Then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right, and let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life.
Praise the Lord. We have repeated scriptures here because we want to put it into our hearts. Because it's a very important thing that actions have consequences. By their actions, their words and lifestyle choices, those who will not be candidates of the kingdom show that they didn't believe or need God during their earthly sojourn. They wanted to live life on their own terms. They thought that they owned their lives. It's my life. I have a right to do with it what I want. No, it's not your life. God gave you that life. And he's going to ask you at the end to account for what you did with the life he has given you. He will ask me the same thing. So if you are living life today on your terms, even though you say you have confessed Christ as Lord and Savior, it's not possible to inherit eternal life unless you repent today. Because the problem is, if you are living life on your terms, you cannot fit into God's eternal kingdom. You want to be independent there. How can you be independent? It's not possible. You have to be willing to be in his presence at all times, doing whatever it is that he leads you to do. Just as he's leading you today, you begin to practice whether you are a candidate for heaven now. Not then, it's too late. You can't learn at that stage. No, you cause problem. That's why he's going to cast them out. Because all those who are disobedient to Christ's commands today, whether they have not yet believed, or they have believed but are living wrongly, we feel out of place. If God was to say, okay, let me bring you to the new heaven and the new earth. No, they'd be out of place. They never knew what it is to obey God and to listen to his voice and to walk in the path he directs them. So they will have to join the rebellious angels and other evil spirits in the lake of fire. Far away from the beauty and serenity of the new earth and the new heaven. But my brothers and my sisters, those listening to me who have believed, that can be your lot and my lot. That thought should not be the lot of all those you have encountered, you have preached the gospel to. So continue to pray for all whom you have preached to, that they may repent. Pray for your families, those who have not known the Lord. Pray for your children, especially those who love the world so much. Pray for them so that God will deliver them, because the time of his coming is very imminent. And you and I want to be that day singing the song of marching to Zion, which we should begin to sing from now, not wait till that day. Because by that day it is late for those who are not already singing it and eternalizing it. And such songs that beautify and glorify God. So we're going to sing this song. And after that we're going to pray. Remember what I said at the beginning. Whatever you're passing through, just know that the Lord is with you. Whatever your circumstance, remember God is with you. Cast all your burdens on him, and he will be there. In the quietness of your room, cry out to him. Speak to your Father in heaven. He hears. But if you have not repented and have known Christ Jesus or had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, I encourage you today to do it. You can do it even wherever you are. And just say, Lord Jesus, I believe. Help me. And I assure you, some things will begin to change in your life. So we're going to sing this song. I pray that Father God will use it to minister to you and I in Jesus' name. Amen. Says, come, we that love the Lord, let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And toss around the throne of God with your beautiful voice. Surround the throne of God even as now. As we sing, our voices are heading to heaven. We are marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We are marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Oh, imagine it now as you march. See yourself marching to the beautiful city of God. Let those who refuse to sing, some who refuse to sing a song, who never knew our God, because if they don't know, how can they sing a song they don't know? But children of the heavenly kingdom may speak their joys abroad. Let us noisily be happy wherever you are. Sing with joy and raise your hands to heaven. We are marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, wherever you are. Imagine as we are marching upward to Zion, to the beautiful city of God, the dwelling place of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Remember the tree of life on those. Before we reach the heavenly fields or walk the golden streets. Just imagine us walking the golden streets in Zion. Because that day is coming, and very soon. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, the city of God, the dwelling place of God. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. What a glorious time, what a glorious day. Let your song and my song abound. Dry every tear today, dry, don't cry anymore. Because we are marching to Emmanuel's ground. To fairer walls on high. We are marching to Emmanuel's ground. This ground has already toiled for us. Let us march through and walk as we march to Zion. We are marching to Zion. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Our Father and our God, I pray for all who have joined today, that none may be lost in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That all who hear this message, that none will be lost in Jesus' name. That those who have not repented, but we hear this message, Lord, will be repent and come into the saving knowledge of Christ. Father, break every yoke through with using this message. Break every worldliness among your children. They love the world too much. Many love the world too much. The enemy is using the world, Lord, to take away your children, Father. Break the yoke of the world on your children in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, let your word have its way. Let your word have its way. Wherever this is noised or heard or preached or watched, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bless your name, dear God, that whatever plans of the enemy, Lord, we trample upon them, that none will come to pass among your children or disturb your children. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, may your peace, Lord, reign on all today. May your countenance, Father, I pray, shine on all who are today join this worship. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. By His grace, we see next Sunday to start again whatever the Lord lays in our heart. Please continue to pray for us as we pray for you. But never, like I said, lose hope. Because our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not just is there, He dwelleth within us. Praise God.